So, you know, I can't start with my usual introduction. That is the best news that we have heard since the beginning of the month when Dale was baptized, and now Mara is baptized, and we rejoice greatly. That's the best decision you'll ever make, and God will bless you for that. We will be here to support you in every way that we can, and I'm glad that I'm not the one that baptized you, and Ryan is. And Ryan, for several reasons, and a preacher told me one time, he said, whenever you can, let as many other men do the baptizing as possible. And when they baptize somebody, it's going to give them a feeling where they want to baptize somebody else. And I pray you baptize many people, you and David and others here too. 2 Timothy 3:2. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, slanderers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. For a few minutes this morning, I want us to look at lovers of self, the sin of selfishness. And again, we want to remember our singing this Saturday. Be praying for it. Several people have commented that they are going to be coming. And again, we should pray that God will be glorified, that His word will go forth into the community. We will be built up, and this is just something we will keep building on year after year. So, lovers of self. Have you ever seen anybody that is a lover of self? Sometimes they are easy to notice. Sometimes we see that in somebody else, but we don't see it in ourselves, whether or not we are a lover of self. Want us to contrast a couple of verses. 2 Timothy 3:2 that we just read, people will be lovers of self. And you compare that with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. We have a contrast. Do we love ourselves, or do we love God? And do we love God as we ought to? I invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I have the verses also on the slides up here. But let's look at this in a little more detail in verses 2 through 5. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. This list here contains 20 different items that goes against God. And in verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Then Paul goes into a list of different things. And as we mentioned earlier in chapter, in these other chapters, that Paul has warned Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Again, anything that is not from God is a doctrine of demons. And people are just going to go farther and farther and farther away from loving God. When we think about lovers of God, lovers of pleasure, is this two separate things or is it one? It makes no difference, because lovers of pleasure, unless that love is renounced, it's given up, will inevitably find themselves drifting away from the Lord. Whether or not sinful pleasure is meant here is not stated, because the word applies to all pleasures, even those in which themselves may be said to be innocent and harmless. So we're going to love something. We're going to worship something. God created in us, He set eternity in us. He created us to worship something. The question is, are we going to worship God? Are we going to worship ourselves? Or are we going to worship something else? He created us to love. Are we going to love God? Are we going to love ourselves? Or are we going to love something else? And you see, the love of pleasure has the potential of robbing the soul of its love of the Lord. In the parable of the sower, remember that the cares and the riches and pleasures were thorns that choked out the world. And we live, friends, in a world full of riches and pleasures that can choke us out. In literal fact, they always please themselves and do not love God at all. When we do not do what God says, we are putting ourselves or something above God. James says it this way in James chapter 3 and verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, what's that self-seeking? I want to do what's right for me. I want to do what I want to do. If we have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. See, this is describing a person that is governed, is ruled by their basic senses. This wisdom does not from above, but is earthly, sensual. What is a sensual wisdom or this self-seeking? It's talking about just basic senses. You take an animal, you take a hungry dog, you put food in front of that dog. What is that dog going to do? It's going to do everything it can to eat up that food. That's the way that sensual is used in this. Sensual, they are reacting based on their natural senses. It's self-seeking. And where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Because when we are all trying to please our own senses, all trying to love ourselves, it's going to create confusion and chaos instead of peace. But know this, that in last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. It's interesting, but not surprising, that lovers of self is put at the beginning of this list, because when we love ourselves, all of these other things are naturally going to follow. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. When we love ourselves above everything else, we are going to do everything to suit ourselves. We're going to lose self-control. We're going to despise what's good. We're going to compromise. When we have the sin of selfishness and are a lover of ourselves, we are going to compromise what we should do. God says, do this, put this first. Well, I'm going to put myself first. And it just is a downward spiral. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. You see, whenever what is inside us is not manifested out, there's this conflict, this contradiction. We might be sitting here in the assembly this morning having a form of godliness, but we deny the power of that godliness. We deny the power of God's word when we walk out that door and then we just start serving ourselves. Again, God created us to worship him and to serve him. From such people, turn away. For out of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. When you think of this list of sins of these people, some jump out more than others. But we see this in people in our family and people that we would call our friends, people that we work with. And Paul is warning Timothy from such people turn away, because they are going to have an influence on us. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. So we resist the truth when we do it our way, when we love ourselves, when God tells us to do something and we do the opposite, or we justify, I would do this, but I'm busy doing this or something else. We are in effect resisting the truth. We are in effect rejecting the truth. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. So when a person has this love of themselves in them, at some point or another, it's going to come out. You can't hide it. I was mentioning the other night, some people you see and they're just so braggadocious about what they're doing, what they're accomplishing, where I'm going to go. It's like they carry this sign, look at me. We don't want to be like that. We don't want others to see us when they look at us. We want others to see God living in us. Lovers of self. It's easy to see in others, and it's hard to see in ourselves. When we love ourselves, we have a self-centered way of life. So we have a self-centered identity. Everything revolves around me. Then we have a self-centered view of the world. What can the world offer me? What is the world going to do for me? And then we have self-centered priorities. The one thing I didn't put on this slide, right in the middle, I'll put my face and you can put your face, because when we are a lover of self, we think the whole world revolves around me. It revolves around me. I can't believe they did that to me. Why didn't they give me this? When is this going to happen? It all revolves around me. And friends, it doesn't. It all revolves around God. And that's why we have to be careful, even in pleasures that are innocent in and of themselves. There is the danger that they can lead us away from the love of God. Self-conceit. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And if we are proud, most likely if we have a hint of good in us, God is going to humble us. He is going to bring us down and give us grace. Lovers of self are self-willed. One who is set on his own way. We are to look on things above, not on things below. And lovers of self and engage in self-indulgence. This is giving free course to one's own passions and inclinations. Whatever we want to do, we do it. We just do it. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed for Thessalonica. We love the things of the world. We go after them. We give in to them, and we indulge ourselves in them. We have to be careful with that. Lovers of self, self-righteousness. This is being righteous in one's own eyes. We have recorded in Luke 18 the parable of the two men going to pray. The Pharisee and the sinner, the publican. And one was so self-righteous, and the one wouldn't even look up his eyes toward heaven. Self-satisfaction. This is being pleased with who and what one is. 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore let him who thinks he stand takes heed lest he fall. All of us from time to time develop an attitude that I'm right, I know I'm right, you're wrong, I'm going to do this. And what's going to happen when we get an attitude like that? We're going to fall. Well, in Jude, when we look at what Jude has to say about being lovers of self, but these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beast, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now, Jude uses three examples from the Old Testament. He does not go into a lengthy explanation, assuming that his readers are going to understand this. I'm not going to go into a lengthy explanation either. But we see three people. You just mentioned their names, and they were known for the sin of selfishness. The way of Cain. We know that he wanted to offer the sacrifice that he wanted to offer. And he killed his brother. We speak of Cain. Cain is not a name that is held in regard today because of the act that he committed. The heir of Balaam, he sold out. The rebellion of Korah. His rebellion, there was an earthquake and the earth opened up and swallowed him. We see how God looks on people that are lovers of their self and want to do things as they think they can instead of how God directs us to do. In Jude verses 12 and 13, these are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up in their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You look at this list, and it's interesting how different writers have their own unique way, their own phraseology on different things. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. These self-centered, selfish people, these lovers of themselves, they're clouds without water, carried about by the winds. And you think especially in Palestine when they had a rain season and rain was scarce, and even today, there aren't as many people associated with that as there used to be, but when a farmer has his crops out and they really need a rain, and then he sees this cloud coming along, and he really hopes that cloud is going to bring him some rain. But what happens? That cloud's just carried on. It's empty. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. That's how these people that are lovers of themselves are. They're an empty cloud. They're just blowing around. They are like late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Where I grew up, we had a pear tree. We had a couple fruit trees in the yard. I love that pear tree. And that pear tree would have pears in the fall. And I would look forward to the autumn and that pear tree having fruit. And if I looked forward to that tree and it didn't bear fruit, I would be disappointed in it. And that's what Jude is, again, describing this person like a late autumn tree without fruit, twice dead, just pull it up by the roots and get rid of it. This person is like raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. If you've ever been at the ocean and you see the waves roll in and foam up and then they go back out. They make a lot of noise. They come and go. That's what some of these people are like. Wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. I don't watch stars, but when you look up at night and you see them, and some people can tell you what all the constellations are, but you just think about those stars and that black sky up there. That's what some people are like. They're like a star who is reserved for the blackness of darkness forever. They aren't going anywhere. They are not fulfilling their purpose by loving God because they are loving themselves. They are putting themselves above God. Even if it's something innocent, God's not going to take second place. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. We see this in the world all around us. You see this in business. You see this in politics. People walking according to their own ungodly lust. These sensual persons just reacting to their senses of what I want. I want it. I want it now. I'm going to do anything to get it. They cause division. They do not have the Spirit of God. In contrast, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. So we are not to be lovers of self. Jude is telling us to be a lover of God. We build ourselves up in the faith. We keep ourselves in the love of God. We look for the mercy of the Lord. And those other people that we come in contact with, some of them we have compassion. We make a distinction. We try to save everybody. But we cannot be a lover of self and run with lovers of self. We must be a lover of God. God's not going to take second place. So when we are a lover of God, my life should be about God and not about me. It should be a God-centered way of life. We should have a God-centered identity, a God-centered view of the world. People talking about what's going on in the world and how crazy it is and what's going to happen. That is true, but when we have a God-centered view of the world, we understand that the world is temporary, that God is in control, that nations rise up and they fall down. It's all part of this pattern that repeats itself. When we have a God-centered view of the world, we just have to remind ourselves we want to be on God's side, not on the world's side, because the victory's already been won, and we want to be with the victor. Then we have God-centered priorities, that God-centered way of life. And the same thing, we need to imagine our face right here in the center of this little diagram. So God-centered way of life, priorities, identity, view of the world. But what happens? This goes back to our Wednesday evening class on coping with problems. There are all of these things that tug at us: pleasure, money, health, honor, fame, glory, power, peace, contentment, helping others, virtue, wisdom. And unfortunately, sometimes God is down on the bottom of the list. But He needs to be the center of our life. And all of these things radiate around God. And how do we do that? Again, we prioritize. We must put God first. We want to be a lover of God, not a lover of herself. My life should be about God, not about me. Philippians 2:12, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same mind, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Friends, these are key verses to being lovers of God and not lovers of self. We don't go about our day, our life, through selfish ambition. I don't think, what can Bruce get out of today? What can Bruce get out of this week? What can Bruce get out of life? I have to think, how can I serve God? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, esteem others better than himself. Look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interest of others. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in ourselves, so wrapped up on what we're going to do, get so wrapped up in our problems, and we miss everything that's around us. We miss what God wants us to do. We miss what God wants us to be. My life should be about God, not about me. Matthew 16, 24 and 25, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. How do we want to live a rich, fulfilling life? We give up the life of serving self. We deny ourselves and we follow Christ. And it'll be the richest life that we can imagine. And it will prepare us for that life in heaven with him. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, we attended three funerals this month. And it is sad, and there's heartache when people die. The ones that we attended were Christians, so they have hope, that hope of the resurrection. But we all see so many people that are out trying to gain everything in the world, and they end up losing their soul. And they don't just lose their soul, but their soul. They get their wages. They get their reward for their work, but their reward, their wages, is eternal death and eternal punishment, not eternal life. God is going to give us what we work for. He's fair. He's just. We do what he says, he's going to reward us. We don't do what he says, we're going to receive the cursings. He's a just God. He's not going to make exceptions or do something different. We need to deny ourselves. Put God and others first like Jesus did. We need to learn to love God or we end up losing everything. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, slanderers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Again, we see that in the world all around us. We see, disobedient to parents. Probably at some point you won't even be able to use that word parent the way our society is going. You see all of this indoctrination, this brainwashing. People are ungrateful. We live in one of the richest nations there is. And people are ungrateful, unthankful for what they have, unholy. That's a lover of self. But then you contrast that with being a lover of God. And we are to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, with all of our strength. God will bless us. He will watch over us. He will cause good to come on to our life. And we can live with him in eternity. Friends, if there's anyone here that needs to make correction in your life, there's no better time than to do it today, right now, as we stand and sing.